No.
I don't know. What are Taffas? That's not Fraser lore. You're allowed to tell me.
They're like, Spanish appetizers.
Okay, so they are like a little, it's like a little plate of food.
Yeah.
So I was right. This didn't need a correction. I was correct. Let me continue my perfectly factual recounting of Frasier episode one.
That's what we're here for.
This is a mess. Oh. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Frasier and Confused, the internet's only authentic Frasier podcast. I'm joined today, as always, by my good friend and colleague, Kale. Hello, Kale.
Hi, I'm Kale. I've never seen Frasier, and it's illegal to tell me anything about it.
And I will commit that crime right now. So, Kale. You have a tangential relationship with Frasier. You've never seen any episodes. Is that true?
So prior to knowing you, the only thing I knew about Frasier was that he has a brother named Niles who wears a lot of cashmere and really likes tapas, I think, and wine. And I only knew that because of Adam Conover's character Stunkbug as a guest character in the Not Another D&D podcast. That was the literal full extent of my knowledge of Frasier before I knew you.
No one listening knows what you're talking about.
Good.
Anyway, we're going to expound on that. The only information I'm going to give you, besides the basic rundown of the primary characters that we're going to do in this episode, is just the interstitial titles, which, if you've never seen Frasier, and Kale has not,
I've never seen a single sitcom. I think somebody forced me to watch some episodes of Friends, and it was before I had glasses or medication, so it's just sort of a blur of colors in my memory.
Fair enough. But if you're not familiar, there are interstitial title cards in Frasier between, like, scene breaks and acts.
Like a silver screen movie.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of. Yeah, kind of exactly like that. So that is the information I'm going to give Kale. And then other than that, Kale's going to tell me how the episode goes.
Mm-hmm. And Ness is not allowed to correct me or tell me anything at all. Everything I say has to be treated as though it is completely canon. So if you've never seen Frasier, this is a perfectly correct and authentic Frasier retelling podcast, and I invite you to join me on this journey.
Absolutely, and I think we might get copy striked by people who have never seen Frasier, because it's going to be one-to-one.
I'm confident I will get everything absolutely correct.
How you feeling, Kale?
Like, I don't know anything about anything, and I'm comfortable with that.
That's fair. Okay, so we're going to introduce some basic character names and very tenuous relationships. You ready for that?
Okay. Do you want me to just sit and listen, or do you want me to tell you what I know about these characters when you name them?
Oh, it's up to you, but if you want to say something about these characters, I will not respond in any way.
Okay, I will, for the benefit of the listeners, I will let you know what I know about these characters when Ness names them.
That's great. Okay, the titular character is Frasier Crane. He is a psychiatrist and does a radio show.
Which I think is wildly irresponsible. Like, just giving, I mean, it was the 90s, so it was a wild time. All I know about him is that he is Sideshow Bob.
I mean, that's great.
Also, I think he's either divorced or a widower. But it's the 90s, so he's probably divorced and hates his ex-wife or something.
A little off topic. The Widower sounds like a great supervillain name, doesn't it?
Are there supervillains in the Frasier universe?
No, I said off topic.
No, I'm on topic. I need to know more about these Frasier supervillains.
Well, I'm not allowed to actually clarify. So, continuing on, Niles Crane is Frasier's brother, also a psychiatrist.
See, I didn't know that. You just told me something I didn't know. One strike against Ness for illegal information.
I think I have to establish that for the podcast to continue.
No. I can just make shit up.
I mean, you will. Very soon.
Why are they both psychiatrists? Fucking family dinners must be hell. They're both pretentious psychiatrists. Insufferable.
Martin Crane is their father, a retired policeman.
This family is getting more and more weird. I don't know anything about Martin. For some reason, I have a vague sense that he is elderly and cantankerous and difficult to be around. And that's, I don't know why I have that impression. Probably because his children both, well.
Well, I'm not allowed to correct you, to be fair.
That's because I'm right.
No.
No, you're not allowed to correct me. You're not allowed to tell me I'm wrong.
It's true. Roz Doyle is...
Roz works for Frasier, doesn't she?
Yes. Yeah.
I remember her because I saw a meme once about her threatening to unionize. Or being in a union, rather.
Yeah.
She's in a union. That's all I know about her.
Yeah, Frasier holds up the sign that says you're fired, and she holds up a sign that says I'm union.
Yes. Thus far, she's my favorite character.
Also, played by Perry Gilpin, believe she was Megara in Hercules.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah.
But it's not about Frasier, so I'll allow this to pass.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, this reminds me. Do you ever read SCP stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I listen to the podcast. I'm friends with Jesse Hall.
Oh, wow.
Who's one of the assistant editors for SCP Archive podcast.
That's great. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the podcast. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's fun.
And you, the listener, can also check it out.
Oh, is this staying in? I thought we were going off topic.
No, this will probably stay in. It just reminds me of SCP-55, where it's the thing that can only be defined by the things you don't know about it.
Yes, that's me and Frasier. I can't believe SCP-55
is... Redacted.
Specifically...
Censor noise.
We're gonna censor the shit out of that, by the way.
I love that SCP is now canon in the Frasier universe along with supervillains.
I'm not allowed to say that.
You're not.
That was never true.
You're not allowed to say it.
Or that it was true.
Mm-hmm. You can neither confirm nor deny.
I'm trying to think of other characters that are important. Oh, yes.
Doesn't he have a son?
Who?
Frasier.
Frasier does have a son, and his name is Frederick.
I don't think I knew that. That's why I thought he was a widower or a divorced, because I knew he had a son, but I did not remember you ever mentioning that there was a wife in the picture. So I was just like, I assume she died or they... separated, and it's the 90s, so it either was like amicable, but it's clear that he's still bitter, or it was a very like messy thing, and she's presented as like the worst person in the world because it's the 90s.
So I feel at this point we should probably talk about that Frasier is a spinoff show from the popular sitcom Cheers, in which Frasier Crane was a character, a recurring character.
I did not know that because I'd never seen Cheers. My knowledge of Cheers is that it's about a bar, which I think is also called Cheers. I thought that Frasier... I originally didn't know that it was a spinoff at all, and then when I was told it was a spinoff, for some reason I thought it was a spinoff of Seinfeld, and I thought it took place in New York.
Which it does, obviously.
No, it takes place in Seattle. I know that. The Space Needle is in the logo.
I did correct Kale on that in a frenzy of frustration.
Of disbelief of how little I knew. Yes.
It's true. It is true.
There was a lot of, this can't be true. This can't.
Okay. So Frasier's had Frederick with a character named Lilith Sternen.
Lilith, like the biblical demon?
Yep.
The plot thickens.
She was also on Cheers, by the way.
Okay.
And she is also a psychiatrist.
Oh, this poor child.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now I know why they're divorced.
I didn't say they were divorced.
No, I've decided. They're divorced, and
okay.
Every time they meet, it's extremely passive-aggressive. A lot of, like, weird passive-aggressive energy. Probably a plot line where you think they're about to get back together, but then they don't.
Interesting.
Anyway, go ahead.
There is Martin, the father, as caretaker, physical therapist, etc. Her name is Daphne.
That's why I thought he was unpleasant and stayed home all the time. I think you told me that he had a personal care person before. Daphne, you said?
Daphne Moon, yep.
Okay, so Daphne Moon is the physical therapist lady.
Slash caretaker, yeah.
Yes. She's his, oh god, it's not a PA, what is it? There's a specific word. It's like a personal care assistant. There's like a specific term for it, but I don't remember what it is.
Hmm. I would say like a live-in nurse. I don't know if there's a term for that.
Yeah, it's a specific thing for people who are disabled and like need somebody to help them with day-to-day stuff. I just don't remember.
Oh, that's an interesting topic. Should I clarify any physical characteristics of these characters?
No.
Okay.
Unless it is like so relevant that you think I should know.
No. Well, I think you've sussed it out for the only important characters, just based on context clues. Mm. I will say, and this was not mentioned, Niles is married.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. And his wife's name is Maris.
Is she also a psychiatrist?
I don't think I can go into any more detail.
She is, isn't she? Why are they all psychiatrists?
I don't know, buddy. Shall we get into the first episode?
It's like being gay and everyone knows that you know is gay, except that it's just, I'm a psychiatrist and not my whole friend room is psychiatrist. My psychiatrist, Dar, led me to talk to you across the bar. I could smell your degree.
So I think this is going to work best when I introduce, when new characters are introduced in the show, mm-hmm. I also tell you, like, their name and occupation, at least. But for now...
Can you tell me their occupations in the most oblique way possible?
It's far too late for that.
All right. I thought I should ask.
That's fair. But I think we're ready getting the first episode. Are you ready?
Okay. All right. Do they have episode titles too? Or am I only getting the interstitial titles?
Yes, they do have episode titles as well.
Of course they do. And it comes up on a fancy title card with like one of those little curly cues underneath. I fucking know it.
They don't actually. Not the episode titles. They don't.
You're not allowed to tell me that.
Oh, shit.
This is your second crime, and it's only the first episode. That's two marks against you.
Okay. Episode one is entitled The Good Son. The first interstitial title, and yes, this is how the episode begins, is called The Job.
Wait, so the interstitial title comes up before the first scene?
Yes.
I wish you could see the face I'm making.
I can imagine.
All right. So it's The Good Son, and the first one is what? What was the...
The first interstitial title is entitled The Job. Oh, I should probably tell you this. There are six interstitial titles.
Why are there six interstitial titles?
It's the first episode.
Are they all like that?
Do
they all have six interstitial titles?
No, like...
You have to tell me or else it's entrapment.
From what I can recall, there's usually about three or four, normally.
Okay, but the first one has six.
The first one does have six.
Which means that this was probably the pilot episode, and someone was like, clearly, this is the way to do it. And someone else was like, Carl, you need to calm down.
This is literally the pilot.
I know. I knew it. In my soul, I knew it. There's no other reason there would be six interstitial titles.
Yep.
All right. So it's called The Good Son, and it's The Job.
The Job is the first. Yeah. Whenever they scene break, basically, there's an interstitial title.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Job is clearly psychiatry because everyone in this show is a psychiatrist.
Okay.
There's no other job. It can't be Daphne because she can't be the son. Well, not in the 90s. So it's obviously not physical therapy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kale. I forgot to mention, I have a little wrench to throw into this podcast.
What's that?
While rewatching each episode to get the interstitial titles, I'm including one word you must use.
Okay.
In each act.
Each act?
Yep.
You mean like each interstitial, like each scene?
Yep.
Okay, okay. Also, you rewatch them for the interstitial? Surely there's a better way.
There isn't. I've looked. There isn't.
How very Frasier. Just like this podcast, be like, if you want to get this full effect, you'd have to watch the entire show.
But to be fair,
the fact that you're looking for a way around tells me, a psychologist.
Yeah. But to be fair to you and everyone else, you can ask for the term beforehand, or I'll just throw it in while you're riffing.
Just throw it in. Fuck it.
Go ahead.
All right. So clearly the job has to be psychiatry. I'm going to try and approach this somewhat like sensibly. And I'm going to try and approach this based on my extraordinarily limited knowledge of 90s sitcoms. So clearly it's about psychiatry because everyone in this episode is a psychiatrist. And
the whole show, really.
Yes, the entire show, the show itself is a psychiatrist. So I assume it just opens with him sitting at his, like, radio man desk, in his booth or whatever, probably already in a call. I assume, like, you get, like, that opening, that shot there, and he, like, is giving sage advice to someone, and then it, like, clicks off, and, like, Roz comes in, and she's like, addresses him by name, and then that's how you sort of, you get your introduction to your initial characters who are there in the station. I have never seen that word before in my life. What does that mean?
Lalique.
What does it mean?
It's a Nauvoo style of cut glass or crystal figurines of animals, flowers, etc.
I don't know what that means. Is this relevant to the show?
It is. I take these words straight.
This is something Frasier says in yes. this scene, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, that's the thing. All the word, like...
Insufferable! I'm sorry if that was too loud.
I pick the worst ones, by the way. That's the joke.
Okay. So now I have to figure out how this got worked in.
Just imagine like a crystalline figure.
Yes, no, I as soon as you explained that and I pictured Kelsey Grammer's face. He definitely says it to Roz, who makes a face at him, because I feel like it has to be lampshaded. Okay, because this is a spinoff. And Cheers ran forever. So I assume this was like a side character that people got really attached to and they didn't expect it.
I'm not allowed to.
You're not allowed to tell me. People got really attached to Frasier and no one fucking saw it coming. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Nobody saw it coming, but it has to be like actively lampshaded that this dude is just ridiculously pretentious.
Hey, Kale.
Yes?
You're stalling.
No, I'm establishing. I'm thinking. So he's there. He's in the station. This is definitely something he says to Roz, and she makes a face at him. I'm just trying to figure out what fucking context in the scene, but people like this don't need a fucking context, do they?
They really don't.
They don't. He says it and she probably is like, what the hell does that mean? And then he gives her a really pretentious like answer, like, oh, you should have known. And she's like, gives him a face. And at this point, you know that he's super pretentious and she's like the one who's down to earth and like,
ugh. It's supporting my 5,000 a day habit. Throws Fabergé eggs at the wall.
Roz does?
No, it's a Simpsons bit.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know anything, okay?
I mean, we've, well, established that.
I've never known anything in my life. Okay, so yes, you have this moment. Then there's that establishing moment where you get sort of the character of the flavor. You get their dynamic. You get the fact that he's a radio therapist. She works in the station. I don't think she's also... I think she's like, she works there and she's his assistant. I like to think that she's like a cool audio technician, but it's the 90s, so she's probably his assistant. And then there's, how long is this episode?
We have 5 more interstitial titles to go through.
No, like the total runtime.
Oh, I'd have to double check. Hold on. Stand by.
It's like standard 30 minute sort of thing, like 22 or whatever.
I think it's an hour long.
Okay. Because it's a pilot, so it might be longer than the other ones. Just because I'm trying to get a feel for how long this scene would be.
The Good Son is actually 23 minutes and 50 seconds.
Okay, so it just feels like it's an hour long. Gotcha.
It felt really long. I just watched it again today.
So that's that whole scene then. That's that whole scene, this establishing thing. And it probably closes out with him saying something snarky and about how he's like done for the day when she basically calls him a twat.
Okay, but I feel like we need to have your recreation of a dialogue that includes the word Lilik.
This is bullying.
I mean, yeah.
You're bullying me for knowing nothing.
It's true.
I don't even fucking know what Fraser Crane talks like. I don't know what Roz sounds like. I don't even know what her voice sounds like.
What? You know Kelsey Grammer.
Only as Sideshow Bob.
Okay, give me a Sideshow Bob who says Lilik.
I don't know if I remember his voice well enough. Oh, God, don't make me do that, because I know that you won't cut it out or let you edit this.
I'll cut it out. If this is Bob.
Sideshow Bob would also say Lilik, though.
That's true, because it's Kelsey Grammer, and he's pretentious as fuck. If it's bothering you, I won't.
No. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what fucking context. You have to understand that I'm not pretentious as fuck. So I'm just sitting here, like, trying to come up with a reasonable circumstance of someone say that and knowing that he doesn't need one.
Okay, do you want some prodding?
Sure, I'll take a little prodding.
Fraser is pretentiously angry and yelling at Roz.
I was right that he does say it, don't
I? Oh, no, this is not from the episode. I'm just riffing.
Oh, okay, so this is not from that scene.
Well, no, I was just trying to encourage you.
Why would he be angry? Because I don't think that would be true. Because we're trying to make him likable, but pretentious in the first scene, so he wouldn't be angry in the first scene.
Fraser is often angry. Like, that is kind of the humor of... No, sorry, I'm telling you too much.
This is the third time in the first episode.
I'm canceled.
Okay, he's often angry, but I feel like it must be present... It's not like a fuming anger. It's probably like a weird...
No, it's a...
Sneering, it's superior anger.
It's like a funny anger. Like, oh, hey. Haha, this character is so funny because they're upset about something that doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah, so it's like a pretentious thingy. How am I angry about Lilik? This character becomes more alien to me the more I know about him.
It gets easier, by the way. I
don't believe you.
This was the hardball. Lilik was the hardball.
Okay, I've established that she's his assistant. He sent her off to do something that is absolutely outside of her fucking like job description, like vote on something at a silent auction for him. And she brings back the wrong object, and he gets pissy because she brought back the wrong statuette. And he's like, no, what does this look like to you? This is clearly Baroque. Do you think this is Lilik? Like something like stupid like that.
That's great.
Did I get the flavor right?
No, I think you did. I think you nailed it. Okay, next scene.
Okay.
The brother.
Okay, so clearly this is Niles. Because this is the pilot. We're getting the establishing character. It probably cuts to Niles. And I'm just going to assume that Niles is, like, also pretentious, but, like, way more relaxed. And probably kind of a favorite.
He's a favorite of mine, for sure.
Yeah, amongst fans. I'm guessing he's probably way more relaxed because he's, like, he's managed to stay married. So clearly he's doing something right. And I know he's wearing a cashmere sweater and holding a plate of tapas, I assume.
Every scene. I so wish I could tell you more about Niles.
No.
But I cannot.
You can't.
It's illegal.
I want everyone to know that I am visualizing. I don't know what this character looks like, and I am just visualizing an orc in a cashmere sweater because of the only pre-knowledge I had.
And I can't see Kale. But they are raising their left hand and holding an imaginary plate of tapas.
I was, but it was my right hand. Which I was holding my right hand up like a waiter.
Gotcha. So Niles is there.
Oh, yeah, Niles is there. I think we open with Niles. And
where are we?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I feel like... Because Frasier has just left work. The work day has just ended. He had that little pissy thing with Roz. I think Frasier's not there yet. We open with Niles. I think he is just come back from visiting their father.
Okay.
And he is visiting Frasier or something like that. Like maybe he's come to talk to Frasier and he's managed to get to Frasier's home. I automatically assumed apartment, but he probably has a full ass home.
We're in Frasier's home?
Were you about to say estate?
No, I was about to say apartment.
Does he have an apartment? Okay. I assumed he had an apartment, but then I thought I was wrong. But it's Seattle, so he probably has an apartment.
I've given too much away.
Brought up apartment first. I will forgive this. Okay, so he's in front of Frasier's apartment, which is way too nice, and like it's very nicely appointed, and this guy obviously makes way too much money. And Frasier is slightly late getting home because he was arguing with Roz, and the show makes it seem like this like probably in total 5-minute argument somehow took him half an hour. And Niles is like way too good about it, and Frasier gets mad again because Niles is there without warning.
Hold on. Can we put a pin in this? Do you know who plays these characters?
I know Kelsey Grammer plays Frasier, whose name I immediately forgot. And I know that the voice actor who did Megara apparently plays Roz because you told me. Otherwise, no. Not a single one.
I feel like it's not cheating to tell you who plays these characters, right?
Here's the thing. I don't know anything about actors, so there's a solid chance they won't help me at all.
That's why it's so fair, I think. So Niles is played by David Hyde Pierce.
I know that name. Couldn't picture him. No clue.
Did you see Hellboy?
Many moons ago.
He was the fish man.
There was a fish man?
Continuing on. Okay, Niles is outside.
You have to give me the word.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my moment.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, Frasier gets mad because Niles is there without warning him, even though I feel like Niles did tell him he was going to be there. But Frasier gets mad anyway because Niles somehow didn't know that he was going to be home slightly later. And Niles is, like, way too good about it.
Maybe he forgot about it.
Is forgot the word?
No.
I'm like, why would he forget? Are you telling me something about this character that's illegal?
No, I'm playing into the narrative. Like, Frasier has a heated argument, and so he forgets something.
Oh, Frasier forgot. Okay, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. So, yeah. And then when he is reminded, he tries to turn it. He's being petulant. So the word I have just been given is cheesecake. I'm going to assume, because this makes me laugh, I'm going to assume it is his own son's birthday and he has forgotten.
Which makes the whole the good son thing double time on the this episode name. It is his own son's birthday, and he has forgotten. He does not live with his son for some fucking reason. His son lives with his ex-wife, and he only gets to see him sometimes. Because I cannot picture this man living with a child in his apartment. I can't picture this man being a father.
You're talking about Frasier.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. No, Niles, I also can't picture being a father, but that's in the sense of intentionally childless couple that has a lot of money kind of thing. Like, that's the vibe I get. Frasier, I just cannot, like, it's not that he can't be a father, it's that he shouldn't, is the vibe I get. So that's how I'm going to proceed. Frasier has forgotten his own son's birthday, and Niles fucking knew this would happen. And also, or maybe not, maybe Niles is here because Frederick, that's the son, right?
That is the son. You're correct.
He's 12 years old and also a psychiatrist. they're going to be getting together at the grandfather's place. Because the grandfather is not super mobile, they're going to be celebrating the son's birthday there. And Niles has come to pick him up after work. And Frasier is arguing with him, and then, like, clearly as a defense mechanism, as he kind of panics about this thing he forgot, and he was supposed to pick up a cheesecake. I'm gonna just assume that it's like a cheesecake that's like not even a posh cheesecake, and it offends Frasier's sensibilities, but it's like very clearly something a kid would want. Like something you look at and you're like, delicious, but he's like too posh, so he's like, oh, why not just like, I feel like red velvet's posh, but it sucks.
Hey, Kale.
Yeah?
Fuck you.
I don't like red velvet, okay?
I love red velvet. That's my favorite.
More for you.
I mean, true, but also, eat a dick.
I like my food to have flavor. Anyway.
Red velvet has a flavor. It's chocolate. It just looks good. I'm sorry. I'm distracting. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I threw my glove down in the ring on that one.
That's fair.
I think that's that scene, because the scene is, again, this was split up into six parts, and it's only 23 minutes, so.
Yeah. So
That's the whole scene.
Okay, that's good. Also, I mean, probably taste-wise, I like a lemon cake better.
Yes. A lemon cake is good. We can agree on that.
Okay, next scene. The father.
Oh, fucking nailing it.
You're gonna fucking hate my next word.
Oh no. Foreboding. Should edit in like a sinister rising music here.
I will.
Okay.
Did you hear the Star Trek effects I did for?
I did. It was great. It was great. Thing? But for your thing for rat, right?
Yeah.
I was just like, I said that so quickly, and I was like, wait, we are talking about the same thing, right? Okay. So yes, I nailed it. So we cut to the father's home, and he definitely lives in like a full home, and I imagine they're late getting there because they had to pick up this cheesecake. And Frasier, we cut to the front and they're pulling into the driveway, and Frasier is still complaining about this fucking cake.
Yeah.
Like, just bitching about it. And they go up the driveway and everything, and like we get like a sweeping thing. Like, this is like a beautiful house. Like, it's clear they come from money. It's got, like, a two-car garage.
Just a note. Yeah. More dialogue examples would be great.
Is this vengeance for making you monologue?
Yes.
Well, at least we're honest about it. For those not in the know, we are both also actors. I was about to say podcasters, and I was like, well, fucking no shit. And I wrote a part for Ness in one of my pieces called Quinn's Mechanism, where I did make him monologue several times for several minutes straight.
I mean, to be fair, this is a recreation of a sitcom, and dialogue is kind of the thing.
I've never seen a sitcom. For all I... And it could be a talkie.
You have. You have to have seen some sitcom. This is where I, like, record scratch hard because I'm going off the rails.
A sitcom? Is that a situational comedy? Is that what that means?
Is that what you humans call a comedy?
Is that what is comedy? Okay, so, yes. We get, like, the kind of this beautiful scene, and then he's still talking about it. I don't know. I'm not pretentious enough for this. And then Niles is like, yes, of course, Fraser. Of course, Fraser. And, like, the whole way up, and just ranting and whine, like, complaining. And then it's like a fucking switch flips as soon as the door opens. And he's suddenly being, like, well-behaved and not being a little shit heel.
Yeah.
And he's like...
How's... Hey.
What?
Just quick question. How's Martin dressed?
Martin, I imagine, is in, like... I assume both the brother... Like, obviously, Niles is in a cashmere sweater. We've already said he's still holding a plate of tapas and was the entire time he was driving. he's also got a fine bottle of wine.
Yes.
He's got a nice bottle of wine. They're late partially because Fraser insisted that they had to get this from a bakery. They couldn't go to a grocery store like plebs.
Sure.
The Father Martin, he's dressed nicely, but not like ridiculously in his own home. He's got like some really nice slacks. It's America, so they're probably wearing shoes inside for some fucking reason. He's got, like, a really, like, you know when you look at it and it's, like, old man clothes, but you can, like, tell they're expensive? Like, like a heavy knit sweater over, like, a very crisp shirt. He's, like, very well put together for a man of his age. You know what? He probably has, like house shoes, and they're, like...
Okay.
Like immaculate brown leather
like
loafers.
Slippers, like fuzzy slippers.
No. Like no, they're like full on like leather like loafers for sure.
Oh wow.
For sure.
Wow.
No. These people definitely have like indoor shoes and outdoor shoes, but all of them look uncomfortable.
Okay, feel free to continue on.
The who? I've just been sent the name Charles Bronson. I don't know who that is.
Would you like to? Have a helpline?
Yes, because I fully, like, should I know who that is? I'm Canadian.
You are Canadian, but that doesn't mean you're completely separated from the American movie scene.
I grew up in a town, outside of a town, a village of 2,000 people.
I know, I know. Charles Bronson is an American movie star from the 70s, basically.
Okay, what was he in?
Death Wish?
Huh?
You gotta roll with it.
I am puzzled. These people are, and these are things Fraser says in these scenes.
You thought my first word was the bad one. Here's my secret bomb.
No, I thought that was bad because it sucks as a word and as a thing a human being would say unprompted. This sucks because I have no pop culture knowledge.
Yeah, but that's kind of the thing, right? You just roll with it.
I'm being punished. I'm being bullied.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
All right.
But you knew what you were getting into. With this.
I mean, I did you a kindness because I could have gone a different direction with cheesecake and made it pinna. Just could have turned these characters into huge fans of burlesque.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of burlesque, to be fair.
I mean, so am I. I literally stage managed a show for 3 years. But anyway.
So think Arnold Schwarzenegger. But
okay,
not...
okay. So he's like an action movie kind of guy.
Yeah, he's an action movie guy. That's what I said.
Okay. Cool. So, Fraser is holding this. He's clearly, like, holding the cake. Niles has his tapas. he also, we cut to him one of these scenes, and he is suddenly holding a glass of wine, and it's never explained how he gets it.
I'm sorry. I am in love with the idea that Niles always has tapas.
I don't even really know what tapas are. For some reason, I just associate them with Niles. I don't think I've ever seen them. I just know they're food. I think it's like a little plate of food.
If I may, I think you're thinking that tapas are like appetizers. What's the French word? Hors d'oeuvres.
No, yeah. No, I thought they were like fancy food where they only give you a little bit.
No.
I don't know. What are tapas? That's not Fraser lore. You're allowed to tell me.
They're like Spanish appetizers.
Okay, so they are like a little, it's like a little plate of food.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was right. This didn't need a correction. I was correct. Let me continue my perfectly factual recounting of Frasier episode 1.
That's what we're here for.
This is a mess. Okay. I feel like that's the stinger opening.
This is a mess. Yeah.
Okay, yes. So they've come in. You're going to have to cut out so much of my meandering.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be good practice.
I hate it. What?
Editor's note. Yeah, I didn't cut out pretty much anything. Sorry.
It'll be good practice.
Second editor's note. Yeah, I know, buddy. I know.
Yes, so he comes in, the switch flips, and like the father is there, the personal support worker is there. That's what it is, PSW. Daphne, the personal support worker, is there. I think Martin is, he's older. He is probably the sort of person, like, he in his own home, like, he can watch short distances, but when he's out and about, he's probably in a wheelchair. When we first see him, he's, like, leaning heavily on a banister, and he's, like, on an upper level and just, like, very, like, kind of get the sense of, like, physical imposing. Like, when he was younger, he was, like, an imposing man, because you said he was a police officer, right?
Retired policeman, yes.
Yeah, he's a retired policeman. And immediately he lays into Fraser for being late. Because again, this is a character establishing thing. We're immediately establishing this man as like, he was a police officer. He's even in his age. He's like, very like straight-backed.
Played by John Mahoney, by the way.
Means nothing to me.
I know. I know, buddy.
Does Fraser have voiceover?
What do you mean by that?
I'm just like the Charles Bronson. I just had a sudden vivid image of like Fraser having like a little narrative voiceover moment where he's talking about his own father, about having been like a Charles Bronson-esque figure back in the day.
Not traditionally, no. Well, I'm not allowed to correct you.
The fourth crime in the first episode.
What? No, I have to establish things. There is traditionally no voiceovers in Frasier.
All right. I did ask.
I feel like I'm safe in that one.
The fourth is rescinded. Okay. But I just had a vivid image of that. Yes, very straight-backed, even though he's like leaning heavily. You really get the sense that he's police or military. And immediately just lays into Frasier for being late on his own son's birthday. You'd think he could at least be enough of a man to show up on time, blah, 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 blah. And personal support worker sort of is like, Martin, calm down, like a little bit, like, don't want to get your blood pressure up too much. And Fraser is just like clearly dour. And Niles is there with his Stefan. I'm going to continue laughing at that every time I say it.
I mean, I will too. But Fraser, my tapas.
No, they're never addressed. They're never acknowledged. I feel like, so we get this scene, and then he's bringing in this cake, and Niles is like, he's like, what do you think father's gonna think, blah, blah, blah. And Niles is like, it's what your son asked for. Fraser, be sensible. And there's like, I think that's part of it. We get the idea that like Fraser obviously thinks very highly of his father and wants his approval, and is like, that's part of why he's like this. And the father, of course, doesn't even fucking comment on the cake. Like, it's been the subject of like multiple like little here and there comments in the last scene as well. And he's just like, I've brought the cake, and he's just like, I didn't put it in the kitchen, and like that's it.
And how does this scene end?
Earlier in the scene, Niles was like, he won't care, Fraser. Like, he's not going to care. Oh, I haven't gotten the Charles Bronson thing. Fuck. Because this is something he says. I feel like his son comes running in and he's like trying to relate to him, even though he can't.
Frederick.
Yes. Frederick comes running in and I feel like Frederick has like an attachment. He likes his grandfather. And I feel like the grandfather Martin's a lot like softer around his grandson than he is around his own sons, particularly Fraser. And so we also get a little bit of that connection. And this kid is like just a kid. Like he is like a normal ass kid. He's not a 12-year-old psychiatrist, no matter what joke I made earlier. And Fraser is trying to get back into his father's good graces and like trying to relate to his son and says something like, oh, yeah, we'll have a slice of cake and put on a Charles Bronson movie. And his son is just like, what? Like fully one of those generational disconnects. So we really feel that he's having trouble relating to people of a younger generation, even though it's his own son kind of thing. So you get that kind of establishing character thing of like this kid is just like a normal kid.
Yeah.
And Fraser's trying so hard to be like cool and with it, but he was like not even cool and with it when he was a kid. He's clearly always been like a little bit of a snob.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. And I feel like there's very much with him and his father, there's very much that kind of like I had to work for what I have, blah, 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 blah. And we don't know why this retired police officer has apparently so much money, because that's not normal, but it's the 90s, so they never explain shit like that.
I mean, it's true. I think we are ready to move on to the next.
You're satisfied?
I don't. Yeah, I like it.
All right.
So I was keeping a character from you. I specifically did not explain a character.
Uh-oh.
And the reason I bring this up is because the next title is their name.
Is it Charles Bronson?
No. So the next interstitial title is entitled Eddie.
Eddie. Who's Eddie?
I'm not allowed to explain it.
Well, I thought you told me who the other characters were. You said you were going to tell me their names and their occupations.
I purposefully obfuscated this character.
So I'm free to just decide whatever I want and you can't stop me.
Yep.
All right. Eddie has to be at the father's house. Eddie is, what was the ex-wife's name?
Whose ex-wife?
Fraser's ex-wife. She's also a psychiatrist.
Oh, Lilith, yeah.
Eddie is Lilith's new boyfriend and has a weird, is like a really genuinely nice guy, but has like a weird, strained relationship with Fraser because Fraser's still, of course, it's the 90s, a little bit bitter but passive aggressive about the divorce. But Eddie is like just genuinely such a nice guy and like so normal compared to all of the rest of them that he like kind of stands out. Like, this is what I've decided. This is who Eddie is.
Okay.
The last scene ends, we hear Lilith's voice and then it cuts to the interstitial screen. And it turns out, of course, because it's Frederick's birthday, not just the father and the father's side of the family is there. Lilith is there with Eddie, who is her new boyfriend. So, of course, we get her coming in and Eddie is behind her. And we cut to Fraser's face and he just gets, like, sour but composed because he's getting mad again.
I have in my notes, there is a commercial break here.
Oh! So there's a commercial break here, and it is for Dove soap. It's for Dove soap. I actually don't know that. All I remember is that when I was a kid, we had a VHS recording of Tron and a little bit of a commercial break in the middle and it was just a split second of a woman splashing water on her face going, ah-ha-ha. So that's what I'm picturing immediately. It's a Dove soap commercial and it's just that. Anyway.
Kale has never seen commercials? Is this real life?
I've seen commercials, but I don't remember commercials from the 90s.
Well, that's fair. All right, I'm going to give you the word early.
Okay.
Angels.
Angels. Angels. Oh, this is okay. I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is a scene where like this is kind of like verbal sparring.
note to the listeners, the words don't necessarily have to do with anything in the scene.
No, because it's Fraser and he just says fucking whatever. Lalique.
Lalique.
Baroque. It's quite Edwardian. No, can't you tell that's Jacobian? But, okay, no, I've got it. Eddie'd come in. She probably came in right at the end of the last scene, and then we cut to this one, and it's them around the table, and they've sat Fraser beside Eddie, and he clearly hates it. But he's trying to behave because he cares a lot about what his father thinks, and he wants to make a good impression on his son, who he can't fucking relate to because he's a space alien. Yes. Okay, so we've got the scene. Beautifully appointed dining room. I feel like the father, he was explicit, so he doesn't have any like help. He has his PSW, but he probably like the extent of his help, he's like, I think he probably has somebody who like comes and cleans his house once a week, and he has a probably like a cook or something, but not like he's not a fucking feudal lord. He doesn't have like a full staff. But they do have, like, he has, like, a cook. And part of that, it's kind of justified. Like, he's older. There's a lot of things he can't do for himself. But, yeah, they're around this, like, beautiful table. And they've seated Fraser next to Eddie. And he's trying to make a good impression both on his father and his son. Because he's a mess of a human being. And I think that it comes up in conversation because Eddie's talking about, oh, like, he loves kids. It's really a shame he'd never had any of his own. And, you know, maybe, like, one day with the right lady. Like, you know, not being too weird with Lily. Because they're not married. They're just dating. He'd love to have kids of his own. But, like, you know, he considers Frederick like a son to him. And you know, Frederick's obviously upset by this. And is trying to, like, balance it. Like, oh, I love kids too. They're such little angels. And, like, both his father and his brother just fucking look at him, and Lilith looks at him like they're just all like...
Lilith is there.
Yes, Lilith and Eddie are there. Yeah, I said that.
Oh, yeah, because Eddie's...
Because Eddie's her boyfriend. Because it's the son's birthday.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, you know...
Sorry. I lost the narrative a little
bit. This is very straight A to B. Like, you know, surely you can behave just for one night. Fraser. It's like you definitely have that like little side moment with Lilith, like for Freddy, his name is Frederick. Like you know that she's like, I think, a cooler, more relaxed therapist, which is part of why they didn't work.
Okay.
And Fraser gets unnecessarily annoyed when anybody calls Frederick by a nickname. And just like very much the sort of person who insists on like a full name. Which of course you get like played with like Eddie and Freddy, and it's like kind of cute, and it's clear that Frederick really likes Eddie, and like this all bothers Fraser so much. All right, and that's that scene.
Okay, next scene. Kale,
mm-hmm.
Can I be honest with you?
What?
I don't think you're ready for the next scene.
I've never been ready, and it hasn't made a difference. I wasn't ready for Lalique or Charles Bronson.
The title is The Home Care Specialist.
Okay, so we've seen Daphne Moon kind of in the background. She we haven't really seen much of her just when she was like, Martin, your blood pressure. We've sort of seen her kind of like discuss in the background of a scene, like discussing with the cook about she definitely handles like certain things, like she's keeping track of his medications. And
what do you think she looks like?
I just sort of assume like a dark-haired woman, probably in her like 30s to 40s, reasonably young, but not like she's not like in her 20s or anything. Sort of like sensibly put together, very very like practical clothes, but not like she's like clearly she's a personal support worker. Like she's, but it is the 90s, so she might be inexplicably wearing a skirt.
I'm not allowed to correct you
or tell me I'm right. But I'm choosing, I want better for Daphne, so I think she's wearing, like, very practical, like some sort of practical slacks, and I think like a simple blouse. Like she's very understated. Like she doesn't stand out a lot. Very, but like a very sensible woman. You can tell just sort of looking at her. She's probably got glasses.
Absolutely. Continue.
All right. So and then we get this point where we've had the dinner scene and everything, and I'm trying to think because I don't have a good sense of her personality.
Well, I mean, you explained it quite succinctly before.
Yeah, but like I was trying to think what this scene would be.
Like a caring person.
Because clearly this is an establishing character thing. So she's got to have a weird quirk, because they all do. Eddie's weird quirk is being the only normal one.
I think you might be ready for the word.
I'm ready for the word. What's the word?
Psychic.
Psychic? Okay, so she's a personal support worker who also is deeply spiritual and believes that she has premonitions. So we're up until this point, like, Fraser's made a couple comments about her, and we're like, Fraser, don't be a dick, because she seemed perfectly lovely until now. And then it's after dinner, we're pulling out the cake and everything, and there's this weird moment where Fraser, as, you know, the father, like, goes to cut the cake. Because obviously, normally, you know, them we'd have Martin do it, but, like, mobility stuff and whatnot. He like, it's his house, right? And so Fraser goes to do it, and she stops him. And it's, like, kind of a weird moment. And he's, like, puzzled for a second, and then, like, not this again. And she's, like, no, something will go awry. Something will go terribly awry. And you should have Eddie do it. And of course this, no. His ex-wife's new boyfriend is not cutting his son's birthday cake. So of course he's absolutely insistent. Martin is like oddly, like you kind of can't get a read on Martin's feelings about all this, but is like not intervening. Lilith is mortified, like, stop making a stink, Fraser. Like, it's just let him, it's not a big deal. Just, you know, it's clear she's met Daphne and knows Daphne's whole deal, and we, the audience, don't yet. Like, we're like, what's going on, Daphne? And Fraser's like, I won't be given parenting advice by a woman who thinks she's psychic, and then accidentally, like stabs the knife like sideways into the cake and like causes like a big splat, effectively like proving her premonition right. And like it's kind of like a punctuating scene. So scene. I think that's the scene.
So scene. Okay.
Okay.
I have no idea how you're gonna deal with this next scene.
Have you ever known how I was gonna deal with any of these scenes?
No, not really. Lupe Velez.
Who?
Lupe Velez.
Can you spell that for me?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay. Lupe. Is that a person's name? Is
yes,
it a word?
It is.
Is this someone I should know about?
No.
Lupe Velez. I'm going to assume... All right, we've established that there's a cook. I'm going to assume Lupe Velez is the cook. But dinner already happened.
I have three words. I wrote down three words for this scene. So, would you like to roll 1d3?
Three words. Three words?
Yep.
Hard mode. Just give me them all. Or you can do a 1d3 if you want.
Yeah, roll it.
D6?
Well, I mean, divide by two, yeah.
Yeah, 1 sec. Divide by two. Well, I rolled a one.
The word is tension.
Tension. Okay, Lupe Velez. And the word is tension.
Go ahead.
Got it. Okay. So Lupe Velez is the cook. He's Martin's cook. And he comes in here because... like, there's been a whole mess. And at this point, we find out there's a cook. Like, there already was a cake. Like, this whole shit with getting the cheesecake was entirely unnecessary. Because at this point, like, it basically was treated as like this sort of pre-course thing, and he brings out this big old cake, and obviously Fraser is mortified. Like, this whole thing with the psychic woman, he's embarrassed himself, his father is upset with him, his son is being stolen away by another man who is way better at relating to children, and then obviously also this, he couldn't even get the thing of being like, ha, I got the cake my son wanted. And he brings out this, like, it's beautiful cake. It probably is cheesecake. You'd assume it's probably whatever the kid asked for. It's probably like a New York cheesecake style, like gorgeous cherries and whatnot. Like, truly food porn, but very poorly shot because this is the 90s. I have really weird assumptions about 90s TV, I'm realizing.
You actually kind of do.
Have weird ones?
Yeah, you have weird assumptions. Yep. A little bit.
Like, I was unmedicated and young in the 90s. True. And didn't have glasses. Everything was a blur of colors. And then we get, it becomes obvious here. I'm gonna take liberties. Are these all things that Fraser says?
You have to take liberties. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but are they, just tell me, are they all things that Fraser specifically says?
The words I give you?
Yes.
No.
Okay, good. All right. So there is, like, kind of this moment in all of this, like, because Fraser is kind of looking away, like he's a little bit hangdog, and he catches kind of this moment between Lupe and Daphne. It's just kind of like a moment, right? They're, like, across the room from each other, and he's like, turns to Niles, he's like, what was that? And Niles, like, Fraser, we call that tension. Like, it's clear, like, there's something going on. There maybe not going on yet, but, like, there's something. A little bit like house staff drama brewing. And Fraser, of course, is upset by this because, like, the last thing we need in his father's house is, like, the staff getting into it and falling out. Like, what is this? Some sort of, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what a fancy person's version of Grey's Anatomy would be. like, the help getting into it kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's...
What? How does it end? Is that how it ends?
It ends with Lupe going back into the kitchen and just a long shot of Daphne sort of, like, longingly looking after him.
Wow. Okay.
And then cutting to Fraser, like, looking sour again. Every scene ends that way.
I mean, I love it.
I'm making a television masterpiece. Was that the last scene?
Yeah, that's the last.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. You have to tell me something's the last scene.
Okay. I will in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no. There has to be a better thing for that because this is the end of the episode. Clearly, we have this whole moment, and then there's like that moment when he leaves and stuff, and we get Lilith basically telling him to hush up because he tries to bring this up to his father, and Lilith basically tells him to hush up. And then we get like this last shot of them leaving and. He and Niles get into the car because Niles is giving him a lift home, you know, the carpooled or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, clearly just had an awful day. And then Niles is like, oh, that was quite nice. And it just sort of cuts off there. Like, you can just immediately tell, like, that, of course, it ends on him having just a sour expression. Because that feels more like an episode ending. And that's the pilot episode of Fraser and Confused that they serialized for 45 seasons.
They did do a thing. I think it's 11 seasons.
All right, what do you think of my first episode of Frasier to Confused? Of Frasier. My first canonical synopsis of the events of Frasier. To recount from the beginning, Frasier gets into an argument with his assistant because she doesn't buy him the right statuette from a silent auction. Frasier meets up with Niles in front of his home and realizes he's forgotten his own son's birthday. Niles is holding tapas. Obviously, Fraser and Niles go to their father's home, where we meet Martin, and The son is there, as well as Fraser's ex-wife, with whom he has a tense but mostly amicable relationship, and her new boyfriend, Eddie, who he dislikes because Eddie is much cooler than him. Martin's personal support worker believes she is a psychic. She's a very sensible woman in all ways, but that. She believes she's a psychic, and also has a thing with Martin's cook, Lupe Velez. And the whole day just doesn't go quite right for Fraser, and that amounts for comedy in the 90s. And thus concludes the first episode of Fraser.